You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and I appreciate you joining me for this podcast. It's amazing how quickly this goes. We are now on podcast 11. We have 10 in the past. The 10 have already available to you. If you haven't heard the ones before now and you want to go back, they are available on my blog. You can go to savethemarriage.com/STM blog, or the easier one is just to go to savethemarriageblog.com, and that'll take you right there. You can also find all of these saved in the iTunes. So if you have any iTunes devices, you can listen to those on the podcast by subscribing to iTunes. And all of the previous ones are going to be there. So two ways of getting to all the previous calls. But I appreciate you being here for today's session. Today's about some very important things, I think, and how you think about your mindset of where you're moving in saving your marriage. But before I get into that, I just want to make a very quick announcement, kind of a personal note. I just released my latest material, and it's available in the Amazon store. I've had a lot of people who said, hey, you know what? I would love to have something that I can get to on my Kindle or my iPad or something like that. Now, this is not the Save the Marriage program. It's not the Save the Marriage system. It's not the Relationship Rescue Blueprint. This is completely different material. This is some stuff that I've been working on lately about those three C's of how you save your marriage, the three C's of connecting with your spouse, of changing yourself, and of creating a new path for your marriage. And so if you're interested in that, the shortcut to get there is to go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. That's savethemarriage.com/Kindle. Now, here's the special deal. You can help me. First, one of the ways that you can help me is by being interested in that that book and by passing around the information. So if you have any social media, Facebook or anything, if you could just post a link to that, that would be awesome. But the other thing is, if you decide to make the purchase, I'm going to ask that you review it, because those reviews are crucial to helping me get this out more and more. So if you would do that, I've got a deal for you. I've got a special arrangement for the first five people who write a review. Now, I'm not looking for, hey, you know, say all good things. I want an honest review. But for the first five people from this podcast who review my book after buying it, you have to buy it. You know, that's the thing. You can't just go write a review not knowing anything about what's in it. So you're going to have to purchase the material and then give a review. And if you do that and let me know by emailing me at lee@savethemarriage.com, let me know about the review, the name that you use for that review. I'll go verify it, and then I'm going to give you access to my workshop, the Transform Your Marriage Workshop. Now, this is a workshop that I actually held live a few years back and recorded it. And now it's available as a virtual workshop. You can go through it at your own pace. It's an incredible amount of material, and I've only heard people say how much it has helped them through the process. Now, it was a five-week retreat process for people who are working from home. They didn't come to me. It was a virtual retreat, virtual workshop. And you can do the same. You can take it in 5 weeks if you do it the way I break it up, or you can run it a little faster, or even stretch it out a little slower. It's up to you, because it's virtual. But that workshop sells for $150, about $150. And so if you're interested, all you have to do is be one of the first five from this podcast to grab my ebook off of Amazon, give me a real review, and let me know that at lee@savethemarriage.com. And I'm going to give you access to that. So just a kind of a quick announcement of how I can help you get more material and how you can help me spread the word a little bit more. So that's what we're here to do, is help you. So let's jump into that. Last week we talked about faults, and I got a lot of people emailing me back about that, and a lot of people telling me how that really helped them think through their thought process. And then I had one person who wrote me and said, okay, you know, that really helped. I know I have these thoughts, but I really feel, and this person used feel about five times in the email, But the feelings weren't feelings, they were thoughts. And I just want to clarify that sometimes we talk about thoughts. You know, I feel this, I feel that. I feel that the political parties are fighting in Washington. I feel that they can't find any resolution. Okay, those are not feelings, those are thoughts. And they are what we talked about last week. So if you weren't with us for last week's about thoughts, you definitely want to go back and listen to that. And it'll give you some ideas on how to deal with your thoughts. But I want to clarify that a lot of times what we're saying now are feelings, really are thoughts. Feelings are feeling angry, feeling sad, feeling rejected, feeling happy, feeling that you have everything together. Those kinds of feelings of satisfaction, right, of joy, those are feelings. But when we talk about I feel that my spouse, blah, 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 that's a thought. And I just want to clarify because we have to really put into some clear measurements of how you can deal with the thoughts. But first, you've got to understand that those are thoughts. So I had another person who emailed me and says, you know, it's so frustrating because I want to get in this direction and then some stuff gets in my way. You know, how my spouse reacts gets in my way and I don't know how to move forward with that. I get derailed and then I don't want to do anything. I just kind of sit back and I get so frustrated that I'm feeling that way. What do I do? Well, I've been reading a source, Dr. David Reynolds, who wrote Constructive Living. It's a book that I really do like. And Dr. Reynolds says that there are three steps to what you really want to do in order to get there. So let's go through those steps, just briefly talk about those steps, and then we're going to push them into the process of how you're working on your marriage. The first thing he says is you've got to know your purpose. What are you doing? Now, that may seem redundant. You may go, oh, well, of course you know my purpose. My purpose is to save your marriage. No, saving a marriage is not your purpose. Saving a marriage is a process, not purpose, a process. I've had this conversation with many people. They'll say, hey, I want to save my marriage. And I'll say, why? And they'll say, what do you mean, why? I want to save my marriage. And I'll say, why do you want to save your marriage? And they'll stumble around trying to figure out, you know, because I don't want my spouse to leave me, because it'll mess us up. And there are lots of reasons. Those are not purposes. So let's talk about this. If I ask you, why do you want to save your marriage? The because may point us to a purpose. But remember, a purpose is a higher place to be. It's not something you're trying to avoid. It's not a technique you're trying to employ. It's why you want to do something. What drives that deep desire? Know your purpose. I want to save my marriage so that I can pass on a legacy of a wonderful family to my kids. That's a purpose. I want to save my marriage because I love my husband, I love my wife, and I want to show my spouse for the rest of my life how much I love. Okay, that is purpose. So you got to know your purpose. Now, let me just say very briefly that is my belief that in our society, in our world, in our culture, working to save your marriage is a noble process in and of itself. But there's a purpose behind that noble process. Sometimes people are working to save their marriage because they don't want to be divorced. They want to avoid that. They're fearful of that. That's not moving towards something. It's stopping a legal process. But I want you to hear me say that that process of saving your marriage is noble and is worth the effort. It is amazing to me to watch people go through all the steps and all the heartache and all the pains to try to save a relationship that's on the rocks. It's just noble to put forth that effort. It's courageous to put forth that effort. But Dr. Reynolds says that first you have to know your purpose. So I just want you to reflect a bit on what is your purpose? Why are you doing that? Not isn't it great you're doing it? Not that you want to do it. But why do you want to do it? Because then Dr. Reynolds says the second thing you have to do is accept your feelings. You're going to have feelings from this process. You're going to be angry. You're going to be sad. You're going to be frustrated. Sometimes you're going to be excited and exhilarated when you see good progress. But what we're really right talking about right now is just accepting those feelings. When there's negative feelings, you're there. Because once you accept your feelings, that's number two, accept your feelings. Number three is you do what must be done. when you figure out that you can accept that you're going to be angry, frustrated, sad, resentful, all these other feelings, then they don't get in the way anymore once you accept them. If you're frustrated that you're feeling those feelings, isn't that bad to be frustrated about being frustrated or frustrated about being angry? You have to accept them. Just say, this is where I am. This is how I feel. Then I've got to do what must be done in order to move the process along. Okay, so the first one is to know your purpose. The second one is to accept your feelings. The third one is to do what must be done. When I talk about this as a way of maintaining, of staying on track, of staying on purpose. Because a lot of times we'll get derailed. And so we stop working on the process. And so one of the ways I've thought about this is kind of the idea of going pro. And I don't know how else to phrase this. If you have a better idea, please email me and let me know how you would phrase it. But going pro is kind of that place where you say, you know what, this is what I do. This is, you know, it's kind of like I compare it to, you know, if you go to work and you wouldn't sit there and say, you know, I just don't want to do this today. I just don't want to go to work. So I think I'm just not. You go to work, right? If that's your job, you go to work and you do your job. I just don't want to, whatever. You do it anyway. Why? Because that's your task. But whenever it's something that maybe is different than our job, we tend to let our feelings, I don't feel like it, is followed with not doing it. And in Dr. Reynolds' construct, know your purpose, accept your feelings, and then do what must be done. It's not about saying, do I feel like doing it today? No, no, no. It's about doing it today. This is courageous action. I've talked about this a lot, about courageous action. Courage is not doing something because you have no fear. Courage is doing something because of that fear, in spite of that fear. Courage, if you do something because you're not afraid, then that's just acting. But courageous acting is choosing to do things even when you're fearful, even when you don't feel like it, but when you're fearful and it's holding you back. And so a lot of people will say, yes, but you know, it frustrates me so much that I'm the one having to put forth the effort. So I want you to think about an idea I call courageous compassion. It's being courageous in offering compassion towards a spouse and seeing a spouse in compassionate ways, of feeling compassion and empathy for your spouse, even when your spouse may be doing things that are counter to what you would want, that are moving in ways that are frustrating. Courageous compassion is saying, you know what? It angers me, it frustrates me, but you know what? I'm going to be compassionate anyway. I'm going to choose to see my spouse in a different way, maybe even seeing yourself in a different way. Remember, I have a core belief that people do the best they can where they are. That's not that they are optimally working at any point. It's not that there's not something else that we could move beyond, that there's not another place for us to grow into, but that where we are right now, we do the best we can. You do, your spouse does. It may not come out as the best. We don't always act the best, but that doesn't mean we're not doing the best we can. 5 minutes later, we might be able to do better, but right now where we are, that's the best we can. What I notice is that there is a judging process that happens when there is a marriage crisis. And what I notice is that we tend to judge the outcome, but not the process of how we got there. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When I watch people, they often will label their spouse. You know the labels you use for your spouse? You know, they're stubborn, they're controlling, they're angry, they're resentful, right? All those negative labels we put on our spouse. That's judging the outcome of how that person now behaves without looking at the process of how someone got there. Think about the implications for that. You notice somebody who is just being a horrible individual. How did they get there? That doesn't mean you excuse the behavior, but you understand that there's a process of how they got there. Over and over, I've had people come into my office and describe their spouse as how awful they are. You know, I'm basically waiting to see the devil incarnate walk into my office. And then in comes their spouse, and they're charming, and they're kind, and they're generous, and they're everything else except for around that spouse. Judging the process of how you got somewhere is different than judging the outcome. We can be compassionate when we look back on the outcome and say, wow, you know what? We have disconnected from each other, and the more we've disconnected, the more angry we've become, and now my spouse responds to me in angry ways. As opposed to saying, wow, my spouse is angry. Something is wrong with my spouse. We play that quite often because we all have this bias about how we view our behavior versus the other person's behavior. The attribution error says that we look at ourselves, and when we make a mistake, we say, wow, that was a mistake. When somebody else makes a mistake, we say, wow, that's a character flaw. When our spouse does something wrong, character flaw. When we do something wrong, just a mistake. Understandable given the process. So we often are able to see the process of how we got somewhere, but we have a hard time extending that compassion to how the other person got there too, and we look at the end result. So part of that process is being able to say, okay, the person that I see in front of me is a product of the process that that person and I have been on. And we've got to understand how to get there, how we got there, and be compassionate about that. That's courageous compassion, being willing to say, wow, there were some things that happened and got the person to this place. So then I got another email this week where the person said, okay, I've got this thing about thinking, but don't you think at some point we have to accept where things are? Absolutely. You have to accept where things are. But as I read the email, what I was aware of is that the person was really not talking about acceptance, but resignation. Acceptance is a starting point of saying, okay, this is where we begin the process. I accept that this is where we are. I accept that we have created a disconnected relationship. I accept that we are at a place of disconnection. I accept that, but that's my starting point. That's not my final point. That's my starting point in dealing with this process. The problem is, more often, I watch people who are at a resignation point, not an acceptance point. Resignation is the final point. Well, this is where our marriage is. It's disconnected. Nothing can change. That's not acceptance. That's resignation. There's nothing I can do. So absolutely, if you are at the place of denial, of saying, well, everything's fine in our relationship, you would not be listening to this podcast. You are accepting that there is a place of strain and difficulty in your relationship. That gives you a starting point to where you want to move toward. But what I often hear when people say acceptance is really resignation, the final point, let me suggest that you just be clear that you're accepting where things are and you're looking for a new place to be. And you're looking for where you want to move towards. So those are some of the pieces that I want you to think in your mind about as you're beginning this process that Dr. Reynolds talks about. To know your purpose, to accept your feelings, and do what must be done. But I want you to think also about how your spouse has been and question intention versus effect. Because I also think there is a core place for me of belief, of really believing that people don't do things to others. They do it for themselves primarily. It may be an angry response to you, but that's for themselves. It's self-preservation, for instance, when we're talking about anger. So the intention, when someone takes action, there is an intended effect, but then there's the actual effect. The effect is what we judge, but we can kind of look back and say, what was the intention of this? What was the person really trying to get to? Someone's actions can hurt me, and I will assume intent, that there's some evil place behind it. versus what I think is really true, that there's a potential that there is an unintended consequence to an action that's really intended for another reason. Let me say that again. There is a potential that there is an unintended consequence for an action that's intended for another reason. A spouse who pulls away may not be pulling away to hurt you, but to be protecting their feelings or to be trying to find another place of resolution or to be trying to find another solution. So there is intention and there is effect. And sometimes we assume intent because we feel the effect. And what I suggest is that courageous compassion is assuming that maybe the other person did not mean that. My history of talking with many people in my office is that there are unintended consequences to behavior that many people regret but didn't see it happening because they were so caught up in their own pain. How about that for you? Is there a time when you can look back and say, wow, I caused more pain when all I was doing was trying to move in a different direction for myself? Because if you can do it for yourself, you can begin to think about how that works out for other people, how that moves for other people. Then you can begin the process that I lay out of connecting with your spouse, of changing yourself, and then of creating a new path. Those three steps, and those are the three steps that I cover in that ebook. So now I want to remind you that now that we're at in this podcast, it's a good time to go and decide if you want to grab that material. You go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. It'll get you straight there. The name of the material is How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. If you want to go to Amazon and search it out, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps, that'll get you there. Or you can just go to savethemarriage.com/Kindle. Remember my deal. I'm happy if you provide me with a review. I'll provide you with a workshop that's going to help you. Okay, now let's talk about how you can give me some feedback on this podcast. There are a couple of ways you can contact me and say, hey, you know what? This is what I'm thinking about what you said. Because that's helpful for me. It's helpful feedback for me to know how this is processing. So you can email me at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. If you do that, it'll come straight to me. It'll give me ideas on what you think of what I've already done here today, what the other podcasts have meant to you, where I'm missing the point, and more than that, how you would like for me to proceed forward. What would you like to hear about? If you would rather, you can also give me a voicemail. You can call me at the number 4-4-HELP-44132, 4-HELP-44132, or if you want just the numbers, that's 443-574-4132, that's 443-574-4132. You can record a voicemail that I'll hear, and if it's a question you have for the show, we'll put that voicemail right into the podcast so others can hear your question and my response. You don't have to give a name. You can do it anonymously. So again, podcast@savethemarriage.com or for help, 44132. That's 443-574-4132. And let me invite you to grab my new ebook at savethemarriage.com/Kindle. Thank you for listening. This is Lee Balcom. I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage. We'll be here again next week with the next podcast. If you've missed the others, please go back and listen. That'll get you up to speed and get you going. Thank you so much for being here. I wish you the best.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.